pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. The title of my sermon is simply this, The Power of Psalm 34. The Power of Psalm 34. Psalm 34 is a chapter that I've been thinking of lately. And when I started as a new Christian, I wanted to grow. I wanted to be a strong Christian. I wanted to get into it right away. So I went up to my pastor and I started asking, hey, what should I start memorizing? I want to start memorizing scripture. What do you recommend? And he recommended Psalms 1. He's like, start memorizing Psalms 1. And I don't know how I did. I'm still trying to figure it out. But somehow I'm able to remember it even 15, 16 years later. And I'm able to just quote it without even struggling. I could do it while doing push-ups, I guess, while running, while holding the kid, throwing the kid up in the air. I could do it if I wanted to anytime, any place, anywhere. You know, but as I thought about it, when I started getting these emails from 18, 19-year-olds, and they're like, hey, I listened to Pastor Anderson. I just got saved. You know, where should I begin? You know I need to read my Bible, but I also think I need to memorize some scripture. What do you recommend I should start memorizing right out the go? And when I thought about it, I thought about Psalms 34, because it has a lot of power. You probably noticed it as they're reading it. If you read along, you probably saw some scriptures. I'm like, wow, you know, I need that. That's what I need to remember. Who thought that as they were seeing it? And it's a very powerful chapter, and it's one thing that I highly recommend if you don't have it memorized, start working on it. I'm like on verse number 4. I can go from 1 all the way to 4 without even trying. You know, but let's look at Psalms 34 because I want to be a blessing to you guys tonight. And I think this will help you, especially if you're a new Christian. It'll help you to get your life straight as a new believer. If you're not sure what to do, where to go, this will give you some tips on how to live the Christian life, how to live a successful life so God could be on your side. Let's take a look at it really quickly. Let's start with Psalms 34 verse 1. It says this, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me and let us exalt his name together. So why do I love Psalms 34? Well, number one, and just to give you a heads up, Psalms 34 is not this amazing chapter that has amazing prophecies or anything like that. It doesn't even have these amazing stories or talks about anybody per se, but it does have a lot of power. And this is the one reason that I love it is because it's a book that just reminds you. It just reminds you of things. And you're like, oh, yeah, oh, yeah. It's not something that's going to really teach you anything amazingly new, but it's just a reminder to everybody tonight. And that's what I'm here to do. My sermon is more like a reminder of things that are very important to God, things that could even save you from being destroyed. But let's take a look so you see what I mean. So right out the go, what is Psalms 34 teaching someone? Let's just say, you know, somebody just got saved, and they don't know what to do. They don't know where to begin. Well, this helps them to realize something that's very important, and that's blessing the Lord. Blessing the Lord. And it says down here, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. I don't want to read the other two verses, but is that you? Can you say that's me? I'm someone that's continually blessing the Lord with my mouth. Could you say that right now? Could you say that today? Could you say that yesterday? Could you say it a month ago? You know, am I a person that if somebody were to say, hey, would this be a person that blesses the Lord all times? Would you consider this person to be somebody that blesses the Lord all times? Or is this somebody who you barely even know even praises the Lord at all? Now, I don't want to, like, expose anybody, but, you know, this is not a verse that's teaching you that you should just be hallelujah, amening every single hour, every single minute of the day. The reason I have to bring that up is because there was somebody who was, I guess we can call him hyper-spiritual, and he was doing it at church, he was doing it outside of church, he was doing it at work, and he was almost to the point where I believe he even lost his jobs a few times, and people say, look, what's the deal? Well, the Bible says that everything that has breath, praise the Lord at all times, amen. So when the boss would ask him something, hey, can you just sweep the floor? Hallelujah, praise the Lord, amen, I will. You know, it was getting to that degree, you know? And it's like, whoa, you know, it's like, hey, go talk to this customer, go talk to the customer. You know, hey, I just want to know where this at. It's over there. Let me show you really quickly. It's right down here in this aisle. Hallelujah, praise the Lord. He showed me how to get it there, you know. So this individual, I believe last time I heard of him, he did lose his job, but at least he got a perfect job. He ended up being a truck driver. Now he can hallelujah, amen, praise the Lord all day long. You know, so God got him a perfect job for him. You know, but this is not referring to just praising the Lord like every second, every day. That would be great if you could. But physically, we all know it's impossible. Common sense, that's not something you should be doing, because if you do this at your job, when you're getting paid to maybe do cable or maybe do carpet or whatever the case may be, I'm not saying not to do it during your break. I'm not saying not to do it during your lunch. But hey, if you're getting paid to do a certain job and all you're trying to do is evangelize in your own eyes and you're just hallelujah, amen, all day long, that's not what this verse is talking about. Right. What this is talking about, if you have your Bibles, go to Job 120. Go to Job 120 while I talk about the other verses. It's great to praise the Lord, and we should be those people that can say, look, I'm going to strive to praise the Lord at all times. But what does that get to mean by all times? I believe it's talking about the good times, and I believe it's talking about the bad times. It's very easy to praise the Lord. Amen. Things are going well. Praising Him all day long. But what happens when bad things happen? What happens when maybe what you wanted just isn't happening, whatever it may be? Financial, health-wise, who knows? What if things start going downhill? Can it be said of you that you're still praising the Lord? Can you look at yourself in the mirror and say, look, I am just grateful regardless of what happens? If you're right there in Job 120, I'll just go over verse 2 one more time where it says, my soul shall make her boast in the Lord. Boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. Magnify the Lord with me and let us exalt his name together. And that's what church is going to help you do, exalt his name together. That's one benefit of coming to church. You can't do this, you know, if you're just watching it on the internet, who are you going to really exalt it with?
Right.
You really cannot. But go ahead and look at Job 120. And if you don't know about Job, you're maybe that new. Well, this is where Job obviously is being tested by God because the devil, you know, God told the devil, hey, have you seen my servant Job? There's none like him on the earth. Oh, yeah, the only reason he serves you is because you're blessing him. Well, you know, but go ahead and take everything that he has. He's going to curse you to your face. Well, go ahead and do it. Just don't kill him. Well, let's start at verse number 20 where it says this. Then Job arose and rent his mantle and shaved his head and fell down upon the ground in worship and said, naked came out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return thither. The Lord gave, and the Lord has taken away. And what does it say right there? Blessed be the name of the Lord. And what does Psalms 34:1 say? I will bless the Lord at all times. At all times. It's easy when things are going good. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. But when bad things start happening, can you still do the same? Can you still remember that, hey, it is good to bless the Lord, good or bad? Job's a perfect example that, look, it went bad. His business, his friends, his children. Imagine that, his children. Having to dig one out one by one, all 10 of them. Imagine having to bury them and still being able to say, blessed be the name of the Lord.
Amen.
That's a perfect Christian. That's a mature Christian. He wasn't a hothead because look what it says right there, and shaved his head. He didn't just like explode once bad things started to happen. It takes a little bit of time to shave your head. Now, who shaved their head before? I have. It doesn't take 5 minutes or 10 minutes, especially when you have to get the mirror and do the backside, right? Right? Did I get it all? And then when you think you got it all, hey, you missed a spot. Ah! You're like, oh, back to the mirror. But it just shows that he was a perfect man. He held his peace. Hey, he ended up just shaving his head. I guess he felt he needed to do that. But he ended up blessing the Lord. And that was probably as difficult as it gets. That's as difficult as it gets. You know, but if you can, go to Jeremiah 9. Go to Jeremiah chapter 9, verse 23. While you're going there, I'm going to read from 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 31. That said, that according as it is written. Written where? In the Bible. Paul's obviously going to quote something from the Bible. That's where it is written usually refers to. He that glorieth. What does it mean to glory? That's another way of, I guess you can say, boasting. You know, because blessing just means that you're exalting someone or something. You're kind of bragging about it. You're glorying in it. And even right there in verse 2 where it says, my soul shall make her boast. Boast in the Lord. That's like glorifying or taking glory in the Lord. It says, as it is written, he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. Well, where is this written at? This is from Jeremiah chapter 9. Hopefully you're there. Jeremiah 9:23. This is what we should be glorying in. If we're going to brag, if we're going to boast, like it says in verse number 2, my soul shall make her boast in the Lord. You know, if we're going to bless the Lord at all times, we need to know exactly what to bless him about. And we shouldn't be blessing him in the sense that we're bragging about what we've done or what we've done for him. But let's take a look right here at Jeremiah 9. Gives an idea of what we should be boasting in or glorifying in. It says, thus saith the Lord. So this is coming from the Lord specifically. This is what he wants from every single one of us. Let not the wise man glory in his wisdom. Neither let the mighty man glory in his might. Let not the rich man glory in his riches. But let him that glorieth, or is boasting, glory in this, that he understandeth and knoweth me, that I am the Lord, which exercises loving kindness, judgment, righteousness in the earth. For in these things I delight, saith the Lord. Now, as a new Christian, I was even asking, hey, how do you pray? How do you begin your prayer? And my pastor back in Northern California says, look, the first thing I do is I adore God. He used an acronym that was the acronym ACTS, A-C-T-S. And he would say, the first thing I do is I want to spend at least 5 minutes just adoring God, just thanking him. And here's some things to thank God for. His loving kindness, his judgment, his righteousness. You know, his judgment is great because if he gave us what we deserve, guess where we would all be? And let's never forget that. You're like, God, you know, I want this, I want that. What's up? Why aren't you blessing me? Well, if he actually gave you what you deserve, right, you know, you kind of straighten up a little bit and not cry about what you don't have and kind of realize, hey, I have a lot from God already. You know, I'm lucky if he gives me more. You know, but just looking at these verses, Hey, he's telling the wise guy, hey, you're wise, understand, but don't get all crazy about that. Don't get all glory and self-righteous over that. It tells the guy that obviously has riches, hey, yeah, you're rich, but that's nothing to glory about. You know, if you're going to be excited and boasting and bragging about something, it should be that you know the Bible very well. But that's not what the world would say, you know, especially if your parents don't really understand what, you know, true success is, you know, finding the will of God and doing it. You know, they'll say, hey, you know, my son is this guy. My son makes this much money. My son does this. You know, what does your son do? Well, my son works for a church, you know. He knows the Bible, but I understand it's not like making money, you know. It's not like making, you know, or it's not like he has a big education or anything. So for us, you know, knowing the Lord, knowing the Bible very well, hey, that's something to get excited about. That's something to thank God. Hey, Lord, thank you so much for giving us the wisdom or giving me the wisdom or whoever has wisdom, you know, to know the Bible like I want to. And of course, a lot of us, you know, aim to know the Bible very well. And as you continue to please the Lord, hey, he'll keep giving you wisdom because it, you know, comes from him regardless of what other people may think. You know, but if you have your Bible, go back to Psalms 34:1. But I will warn you, if you're going to be an individual that's blessing the Lord, that's praising the Lord, that's glorifying the Lord, that's magnifying the Lord, especially in a group, especially with other people, I'm just going to give you the heads up. You know, this could be you, this could be not. You know, be careful to be the individual that kind of starts to hate the person that's glorifying God. Don't be the individual that hears somebody singing and you start to kind of get a little cringy about it. Don't be the individual, you know, when you see somebody just new or maybe they just want to, for some reason, start singing out of nowhere. Don't be that individual that starts to kind of hate that. Let me tell you why. You're right there in Psalms 34:1-3. Look at the verse in verse number 2 that says, my soul shall make her boast in the Lord. It doesn't say that everyone that shall hear it will be glad. What does it say? It says that the humble shall hear thereof and be glad. So why am I making this point? The point is that, hey, there's going to be people that will be praising the Lord. But if you're humble, you're going to enjoy that. So if you end up hearing somebody singing or whistling or whatever the case may be, and you kind of get annoyed by it, hey, that could be pride that's actually getting in there. So I want to just give the heads up on that. Also, if you're the one glorifying, hey, it is what it is at work. You know, if they're not humble, they're not going to like that. So just giving the heads up that, hey, just keep on praising the Lord. And if you got your Bible, I want you to go to 2 Samuel chapter number 6. While you're going to 2 Samuel chapter number 6, because I just want to give you a good example of somebody who's blessing the Lord, he's praising the Lord, he's boasting in the Lord, he's glorying in the Lord, and someone else starts to despise him, starts to despise this individual. So if you can make it to 2 Samuel chapter 6, that's great. If not, I'm going to read from Proverbs 29:27. It says this, the unjust man is an abomination to the just, and he that is upright in the way is abomination to who? The wicked. So those that are upright, they're going to be an abomination to the wicked. So if you end up hating somebody who's upright, hey, let's just face the fact, you're wicked, got to get right with God. But let's look at this individual who I believe is just an example unto us not to be, you know, this individual when other people are excited about serving the Lord, they're blessing the Lord, glorifying the Lord. It says in 2 Samuel chapter 6, and as the ark of the Lord came into the city of David, Michal, Saul's daughter, looked through a window and saw King David leaping and dancing before the Lord. I wish I could have seen that. I wonder what kind of dance he's doing. I'm not that type of a dancer, but if anybody wants to come up here and give me an idea what you think he would have been dancing like, I'll let you come up here for a few seconds. You know, but you got to be really excited to be dancing. You know, you got to be a really excited individual. I mean, you have to be so excited that, I don't know, I mean, I don't know what would get you excited to the point where you're dancing and you're leaping and you're, you know, glorifying the Lord. But David was doing that. That's just how excited he was. You know, but was everybody happy that he's happy? No, they weren't. They were not. It says clearly right there in 2 Samuel chapter 6, it says she, talking about his wife, despised him in her heart. Why? Because the upright in the way is an abomination to the wicked. You know, but let's just not, you know, get to that point ever. And if you do end up seeing somebody praising the Lord, blessing the Lord like Psalms 34 commands us to do, hey, let's just be careful not to get envious or whatever it may be, despiteful. I know I've done it before where somebody's all excited and I'm having a bad day for some reason in music. It's just causing me to have, you know, irritation in my ears. Hey, I know at that point I'm wrong with the Lord and I need to get right, you know, and maybe even join this man, like it says in verse number 3, and magnify the Lord with him and exalt God's name together instead of being all bitter and upset over this individual that's just happy that he's serving the Lord, happy that he's blessing the Lord. Hey, I might need to join him and partake him in that. You know, but if you have your Bible, what I want you to do is go ahead and go. You know, just go to Psalms 96. Go to Psalms 96. So Psalms 34, what is it telling us to do? To bless the Lord. You just keep on blessing the Lord. And one of the ways to bless him in Psalms 96, 2, is to sing unto the Lord. It says, sing unto the Lord, bless his name, show his salvation from day to day. If you can go ahead and meet me back in Psalms 34, 4, you know, I'll just read a few verses about praising the Lord or singing unto the Lord. Psalms 96, 2 is the one I wanted to highlight. It says, sing unto the Lord, bless his name. So a way to bless the Lord and exalt him is to sing unto the Lord. Show forth his salvation from day to day. Psalms 9, 11 says this, sing praises to the Lord, which dwelleth in Zion. Declare among the people his doings. Psalms 47, 6, sing praises to God. Sing praises unto our God. Sing praises. Psalms 92, 1, it is a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord and to sing praise unto thy name, O Most High. James 4, 17, therefore to him that knoweth to the good and doeth the not, to him it is sin. Why did I throw that in there? Because we see all these verses to sing unto the Lord. And what's it say right there in Psalms 92, 1? It is a good thing to what? Sing unto the Lord. So then don't hate somebody who's singing unto the Lord. You know, just because you don't like to sing, don't despise somebody else who doesn't. He's just trying to obey the Lord. He's just trying to do what Psalms 34, 1 is teaching him. You know, what is the danger of not singing unto the Lord? Well, of course, it says right there, to him that knoweth to the good and to the not, to him it is sin, it becomes sin in your life. And what's the danger of that? Well, Psalm 66, 18 says this, if I regard iniquity in my heart, this is David speaking, the Lord will not hear me. So if you have iniquity in your heart, the Lord's not going to hear you, so don't bother praying. When you're in trouble, don't bother praying. You know, you don't want to sing unto the Lord, you're not in the mood, you don't feel like it's your thing. Well, if it's a good thing, like it says in Psalm 92, 1, it is a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord and to sing praise unto him. But you're saying, well, I don't agree with that. Hey, what you're causing is yourself to sin against the Lord. When he commands us to sing to him, commands others to sing to him. So when you hear people singing, hey, hopefully they're doing it out of a willful heart, you know, but at the end of the day, they're obeying God just by singing unto him, you know. And the music will change you if you give it a chance, you know. But you have any iniquity in your heart, that's something silly. You know what, just, you know, forsake it and start singing unto the Lord, whether you like it or not. Maybe not every song is going to be your favorite song, but find one, start singing it, and I guarantee you it'll put you in a good mood. Key example this morning, while I'm walking around, some of you guys may have seen me, I got a little upset. You know why? Because I'm checking the AC and it's hot in here. Who's hot? Well, if you want to blame someone, blame me. Because I made that thing somehow die. So this morning, before you guys showed up, it was working. So I put everything at 68, and for some reason it blew, and it just cannot be put back together for some crazy reason. So I emailed the manager, told him his thing, but I was upset. I was like, oh, man, I hate when people are hot. You know, I'm fed up with this. It seems like it always goes off. The management, hopefully he's not watching, kind of doesn't take us serious. You know, but then the last song, who remembers what last song we sang? The last song this morning, who remembers that? I'll tell you what it was. Singing I Go. As soon as that started, I changed. I did a total 180. You know, who was having a bad day, started singing that song, and then it completely changed you? There you go. One over there. And as soon as I heard the music, I'm like, yes. Singing I go along life's road, praising the Lord, praising the Lord. Singing I go along life's road. Hey, it just got me in a good mood. But why? You know why? Because I was obeying God. I think he just, you know, gave me love, joy, peace, and patience. And from that point on, it was like, oh, well, can't do anything but the heat. You know, got peace, got joy about it, and just ended up moving on. So, hey, be careful having iniquity in your heart because the Lord will not hear you. And the reason I say this could save you is because, look, if you're in trouble, you need the Lord. You know, but when we have sin in our hearts, it says that he will not hear us. And it's very funny because I read this story, and I'll get into the other points in a second, but this is a story that just kind of stuck in my head. There was a story of this Civil War soldier who was just sneaking up on the enemy. I don't remember which side he was on, but when I listened to his story, it just made me say, wow, I need to sing more. Because this is what happened. I guess he got up to the enemy. He was in the grass, and he put his rifle, and one of the soldiers ended up going in front of him. And his goal was to just shoot him as soon as he got a chance. So the soldier's just walking by him, and he doesn't realize they have a sniper just right there in the grass. And for some reason, this guy just decided to start singing. He just started singing, but he ended up singing a hymn. And the guy that's right behind him, ready to shoot him in the head, heard the hymn, and sure enough, it convicted him to the point where he just put his rifle down. Because that hymn that he was singing was a hymn that his mom used to sing to him when he was a child, and he couldn't dare shoot this guy, and it put this guy from a killer mood into a loving mood, and he let the guy live and just ended up sneaking back into his company. You know, but man, imagine if that guy didn't obey, blessing the Lord and singing to the Lord. Who knows where his tombstone would be just now. You know, but that's why I love Psalms 34, not just because of that. There's more powerful stuff coming up. You know, but let's just quickly review. I love Psalms 34 because it reminds me personally to bless the Lord. And also love Psalms 34 because it reminds me to keep seeking the Lord. You got the Bible right there in front of you. I told you to go to Psalms 34:4. It simply says this: I sought the Lord and he heard me and delivered me from not some of my fears, all of my fears, every single one of them. They looked unto him and were lightened, and their faces were not ashamed. This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved them out of all his troubles. I mean, how would you like to get delivered from all your fears? I mean, if I gave you pen and paper, told you, hey, write down the top three biggest fears that you have, you know, I don't know what they would be, but this verse is saying, hey, you seek the Lord, and they're not going to happen. They're not going to happen. Here's a few examples that I thought of. My children going astray. Sometimes it gets to me like, man, I don't want these kids to go to the devil. I love them so much. You know, I know like everybody else. It's like, man, they're a great blessing to me. And I fear sometimes just because I'm thinking, man, I'm so weak. I need to step up my game, read more, whatever, and try to be the best father I can because I don't want my kids to go astray. Well, you know what? When I read what the Bible says, Proverbs 22:6, that if you train up a child in the way he should go, it says when he is old, he will not depart. He will not depart. And sometimes I want to let go of my little daughter, Shuja, when she does bad things. I just want to let her go and not give her spanking. But you know what's going to happen if I don't spank her now? It says in Proverbs 23:14, thou shalt beat him with a rod and shall deliver his soul from hell. So I got to do it, girl. I got to get behind you and I got to take care of business, okay? And she's looking away because she knows she does a little cry thing more than any of them ever did. I'm sorry, daddy. Starts crying left and right. You know, but just me thinking of the thought of my kids going astray, you know what? Just focusing on what the Bible says and continue to seek the Lord. Hey, I have nothing to worry about. And let's just try to keep the basics. Okay, like, hey, I'm going soul winning. I'm going to church 3 times a week. I'm doing my best to pray and read my Bible every day. You know, I'm doing my best to work hard 6 days a week. Thou shalt labor and try to obey the Bible as much as possible. I mean, just keeping the basics, I think I'll be fine. And you know what? I try to do above and beyond more, like preaching, which is very difficult. You know, just trying to keep myself from becoming just an average employee. I want to be above and beyond average. So just giving my best to God, and you know what he says? That he's going to deliver me from all my fears, every single one of them. But how about this one? That God won't provide. Who's ever had those fears? That God will not provide. It's like, God, I don't know, are you going to even provide? Well, what does it say in Psalms 34:4? Seek the Lord, and he's going to deliver you from what? Every single fear, all of your fears. And if you got the Bible, just go ahead and go to Proverbs 10:24. Go to Proverbs 10:24. Well, I'll just read from Matthew. Like I said, this is all reminding us of things that we probably already read in the Bible because I'm not going too far deep into any direction. But I'm going to just read from Matthew, where it says, therefore I said to you, take no thought for your life what you should eat and what you should drink, nor yet for your body what you should put on. It is not the life more than meat and the body than raiment? Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into the barns. Yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are you not much better than they? Which of you by taking thought can add 1 cubit unto your stature? And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow, they toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothed the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore take no thought, saying, what shall we eat? What shall we drink? Or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And what does Psalms 34 promise us? That none of your fears are going to happen. None of them are going to happen. I'm not saying you're not going to suffer. I'm not saying that. Because those that live godly in Christ shall suffer persecution. But whatever fears that obviously are fears in a sense that, hey, I'm afraid that God's going to come down on me or whatever the case may be. God says, hey, you keep seeking me, you'll be fine, and I will provide. And it says right here, righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for tomorrow, you know, for tomorrow to take care of itself. You know, but what I wanted you guys to see right there in Psalms 10:24 is it says that the fear of the wicked, hey, that shall come upon them, but the desire of the righteous, that's going to be granted. So keep seeking the Lord, keep trying to do what's right, and God will take care of you. The Bible says in Psalms 84:11, the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. He says no good thing will he withhold, not from any Christian, but from them that walk uprightly. So keep walking uprightly, keep seeking the Lord, keep coming to church, keep reading your Bible, keep praying, keep going soul winning. I mean, those are the basics that we should all be doing, and you'll be fine. You'll be fine. There's other stuff that's more advanced, but you know what? At the bare minimum, just keep the basics, and you'll win in life. You'll go far in life. God will take care of you, and he'll make sure that he doesn't allow you to miss any good thing. You know, but when it comes to, you know, fears that people may have, you know, the one that we just read, I'm sorry I should have gave you the other thing that I was thinking of, was missing out. Missing out in life is something that most people are afraid of when they're seeking the Lord or when they're serving the Lord. They think, oh, I don't think I can go to church. I don't think I'll be a Baptist because I'm afraid I'm going to miss out. It may not be the adults per se, but I know the teenagers are the ones that are probably guilty of this more than anybody because they're thinking, oh, you know what? I know that I should go here, go there, but I think that God will make an exception for me and I can go a different route and succeed and be happy. Why? Because they're afraid by going the right route, by doing what they know they ought to do, they're afraid that they're going to miss out when the Bible makes it very clear that you will miss out, but you're going to miss out on good things. If you start living a wicked life, like it says right there in Proverbs 10:24, it says the fear of the wicked, hey, it shall come upon him. So if any Christian, doesn't matter if they're a teenager or not, hey, you start living a wicked life, those fears that you think, you know, or those fears that you don't want to come to pass, they will come to pass. They will happen. You know, if you live a wicked life, if you stop seeking the Lord, if you give up on the Christian life, quote unquote, you know, these fears that you got, they will come upon you. But if you keep doing what's right, and I know it's not hard, that's what the Bible says, to endure hardness. The Bible promises that, hey, the desires of the righteous, God will grant those. He will grant those desires, and you're not going to miss out on life. Another thing that people fear, this mostly pastors, the church not growing. It's like, oh, I'm afraid my church is not going to grow. But Matthew 16:18 says this, and I say unto thee, thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. So God says, I will build my church. I will. You know, and it doesn't even matter if it doesn't grow. Maybe there's a pastor and his church is small. Look, if you're doing what's right, that should suffice. But I don't think it's going to stay small. I think if you're growing, hey, God's going to allow you to have people to help them grow, and the church will be bigger. But what happens when pastors start to fear? They hold back on doctrine. They don't want to get interviewed and go on record saying that, yeah, the Bible teaches homosexuality, you know, is a sin, and homosexuals should be put to death. They're afraid to go on record. They'll say it, oh, yeah, but I don't want to be on camera. You know, and what else do? They compromise on the music. What else do? They compromise on the clothing standards, whatever the case may be, you know. But here's the thing. If you do what's right, God says, hey, I'll take care of you. Your fears are not going to come to pass. It says, hearken to me, ye that follow after righteousness, ye that seek the Lord. Look unto the rock where ye are hewn, and to the hole of the pit whence ye are digged. Ezra 7:10 says this, for Ezra has prepared his heart to seek the Lord, the law of the Lord, and to do it. So I guess I'll throw the disclaimer in there. You know what? Seeking the Lord is not enough per se if you're not going to do it. If you're not going to do it. How many of you guys, you know, have heard people say, yeah, you know what? I've heard the Bible say X, Y, and Z, you know, but I still haven't figured out for myself. In other words, the post-trib rapture. Pastors have been pastoring for 30 years, 40 years. Like Dr. Jack Treber pastoring for 40 years or whatever. If he read his Bible once a year for the last 40 years, he's read over 40 times. Don't you think he would have figured it out by now? But I think the reason why God doesn't allow them, if he's even saved, because sometimes I doubt salvation. I mean, I wonder if you're even saved. But I think that even if a pastor does want to seek the truth, I don't think God's going to give it to them if they're not going to preach it. If they're not going to do it, why should God give you? And this is how they get stuck on pre-trib. This is how they get stuck on other things. Like, oh, I believe homosexuals can be saved, you know. I don't think God gives up on anybody. Why? Because they're not going to preach the truth. So why should God even give it to them? So part of seeking the Lord is, hey, I'm going to do it, Lord. Hey, I'm going to seek you. Whatever the Bible says, I'm going to do it. And that's what God means when it says to seek him. Not like, well, I want to know what it means, but you know what? I don't think I'm going to change. I think I'm just too far into it. No, if you, like Ezra, seek the law of the Lord, hey, that you're going to do it, and to teach to Israel, but pastors aren't looking at it that way. It's like, oh, man, I kind of see where Pastor Anderson is going with this. Yeah, I kind of see his big points on the post-trib. You know what? Yeah, you know what? I need to study it out. They study it out for a year or 2 years and then come back. And it's like, well, I still don't know. I'm not fully convinced. Yeah, because even if you knew the truth, you're not going to teach it. You're not going to teach it to Israel. So why should God even, you know, give you the confidence that, hey, you're wrong and the post-trib is correct? You know, but that's the kind of stuff that we need to start thinking about. It's like, hey, am I truly seeking the Lord? You know, because if you are, then the promise is that none of your fears are going to come to pass. He says he's going to deliver you from all your troubles and all your fears. And that's why I love Psalms 34, because that's a good reminder that, hey, keep seeking the Lord. When it starts getting tough, three times a week, church, three times a week, really? So when in 110-degree heat, 1, 2, 3 hours, whatever, is it really worth it? Well, what does it say? It says it's really, really worth it, because guess what? All the fears that we have in our hearts, God will just keep those things away. You know, but let's just quickly review. Psalms 34, I love it because it reminds me to bless the Lord, seek the Lord. And it reminds me to fear the Lord, and that's something that we just can't get enough of. If you have your Bibles, I want you to go to Matthew 10:28. Well, you go to Matthew 10:28, I'm going to read from Psalms 34:7 that says this, the angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear him, That's a good reminder of fearing God. Hey, you want protection? You want God's angel to encamp around you? It's time to fear the Lord. And God's going to deliver you if you put your fear in Him. That's what it says in Psalms 34:7. It says, "And taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in Him. Oh, fear the Lord, ye His saints, for there is no want." Goes back to what he said in Psalms 34:4. "For there is no want." In other words, you're not lacking. "There is no want to them that fear Him. The young lions do lack and suffer hunger, but they that seek the Lord shall not want any good thing. Come, ye children, hearken unto me. I will teach you the fear of the Lord." And that's what I want to do as a faithful, I guess you can say, teacher of God's word. I want to quickly teach you the fear of the Lord, because that's very important. And you can never hear too much about the fear of the Lord. Why? Because look what it says right there. It says you'll have protection. Those that fear the Lord, the angel of the Lord is going to camp around them. It says right here that you're not going to want anything if you fear the Lord. Now, of course, you are going to miss out in the Christian life if you're fearing the Lord, seeking the Lord, but you're going to miss out on bad things. That's what people don't realize. You're going to miss out on bad things, but people think the opposite. Oh, if I serve the Lord, I'm going to miss out on all this good stuff that the world has to offer. There's nothing the world has to offer that's good that's God going to keep away from you. If you're fearing Him, He's going to make sure you get it if it's something good for you. You know, but as you turn to Matthew 10:28, I'm going to read from Jeremiah 5:22 to give you the clearest scripture, I believe, as to what God means when He says to fear Him. Because some people may ask, well, what do you mean God wants you to fear Him? What exactly do you mean by that? Well, I'll just tell you simply what I believe fear means. Fear means just fear. Fear, being afraid. And I get that from Jeremiah 5:22. Being afraid of what? Being afraid that if you cross the line, God will punish you. Being afraid that if you commit, you know, certain sins or any sin, God will chastise. That fear is enough to keep you away from committing sin. And that's what we want to have, is a clean life, you know, that's free of sin. But it says in Jeremiah 5:22, "Fear ye not me, saith the Lord." So He's saying, hey, don't you guys fear me? So He's talking to the nation and saying, look, don't you guys fear me? What exactly does He want them to do? It says, "Fear ye not me, saith the Lord. Will ye not tremble at my presence?" Tremble at my presence. When I see this verse, what I think of, you know, I'm going old school, is the first Jurassic Park. Who's ever seen that? I mean, when I think of this verse, I think of the part where that girl has, is it Jell-O in her spoon? Who knows what I'm talking about? Jell-O in her spoon? And all of a sudden they're like eating, having a good time. And all of a sudden she starts like shaking the spoon or whatever, because there's a raptor right behind her. And she starts like shaking in whatever the case. Who knows what I'm talking about? I don't know, but that's what I believe it means when it means tremble, to be afraid to the point where, hey, if I commit a sin, I cannot do this. God will come down. That's enough to keep you from doing it. That's fearing God right there. Because that's what Jeremiah says. It says this, "Fear ye not me? Will ye not tremble my presence, which I place the sand for the bound of the sea by pressure of degree, that it cannot pass it? And though the waves thereof toss themselves, yet can they not prevail. Though they roar, yet can they not pass over it." You're there in Matthew 10:28. Jesus Christ told us very clearly, hey, don't be afraid of man. You know, you should be afraid of me. It says, "Fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear Him which is able to destroy both soul and body." Where? In hell. And who is the one that can destroy body and soul in hell? Jesus Christ. God, exactly right. But it's not just being afraid of God that shows you have the fear of the Lord. It's also hating evil. It's also hating it. I'll just read from Proverbs 8:13, famous verse. "The fear of the Lord is to hate evil, pride, arrogancy, and the evil way, and the froward mouth do I hate." Proverbs 23:17 says this, "Let not thy heart envy sinners, but be thou in the fear of the Lord all the day long." And I know that's something difficult to do, but right here you see that, hey, fearing God means that you're afraid of Him, that He's going to come down on you. When you sin, you can kind of look at your fear level and realize it was low when I committed that sin. But how we get to fear the Lord to the point where we depart from sin, I'll get into that in a second. You know, but I like how Psalms 34, it reminds us to fear the Lord. Fear the Lord. You know, it's a good thing to fear the Lord. And of course, do a quick test of yourself. Hey, do I hate evil? Do I hate pride? Do I hate arrogancy? Do I hate the evil way? Hey, then you have the fear of the Lord in you. And the good thing about the fear of the Lord is going to prolong your life. But see, Psalms 34 talks about fearing the Lord. But I just want to go over some benefits of fearing the Lord really quickly, because I know it's just me hammering you guys, hey, fear the Lord, fear the Lord. Make sure you're fearing God to the point where you tremble, you know, just at the thought of sinning against Him, or realizing, yeah, I do hate, you know, prideful people. I do hate homosexuals. I do hate, you know, whatever sin, you know, adultery, fornication, you name it. You know, by you hating it, that is showing that you do have the fear of the Lord. You know, but also not just that. Here's some benefits, like I said before, that the angel of the Lord encampeth around them, hey, those that fear Him, and He will deliver them. It's like having a guardian angel. You fear God, God will protect you. He'll have that angel encamping around you, so you don't have to fear men. You don't have to fear anyone. You know, by you fearing God, men will in a sense fear you, and you see it in the Bible. You know, when children of Israel started fearing God, these nations started to fear them, and they would run away, and sometimes they didn't even fight them because the Lord put the fear of death in them, and it just took off. But I'll just read, if you can go, you know, to Deuteronomy chapter 31. I'll just read really quickly some verses on the fear of the Lord, the benefits of fearing the Lord. One is that the angel of the Lord will encamp around you, protect you. Another reminder is that the fear of the Lord, you know, there's not going to be anything like the Bible says, for there is no want to them that fear him. The young lions do lack supper for hunger, but they that seek the Lord shall not want any good thing. Proverbs 10:27 reminds us that a fearing the Lord, you know, departing from sin, God will prolong our days. The fear of the Lord prolongeth days, but the years of the wicked shall be shortened. Luke 1:50 says this, and his mercy is on them that fear him from generation to generation. So another plus of fearing the Lord, his mercy is going to be upon you. You know, Proverbs 16:6 says this, by mercy and truth iniquity is perished, and by the fear of the Lord men depart from evil. And people want to say, hey, how can I get rid of sin? Well, the way you want to depart from evil, if you're right there in Psalms 31:10, is to get the fear of the Lord in you. And the Bible commands us to be not wise in our own eyes, to fear the Lord and depart from evil. But one way that we can start building that fear of God, that fear of the Lord, you know, it says right here, is by what you guys are doing now. Coming to church, hearing preaching, hearing hard preaching, you know, that will cause you to have the fear of the Lord in you. How do we know? Because it says right here in Psalms 31:10, and Moses commanded him, saying, at the end of every 7 years, in the solemnity of the year of release, in the Feast of Tabernacles, when all Israel's come to appear before the Lord thy God in the place which he shall choose, thou shalt read this law before all Israel in their hearing. Gather the people together, men and women and children, and thy stranger that is within thy gates, that they may fear and that they may learn, and they may learn and fear the Lord your God and observe to do all words of this law. So what is Moses saying? Hey, get the people together, read them the law, that's going to cause them to fear. Men, women, and children, that's going to cause them to fear. So the people that don't go to church, all they do is read the Bible, they don't listen to any preaching, they can't have that fear of the Lord that's going to keep God from, you know, allowing bad things to happen to them. You know, you need to have preaching that will increase your fear of the Lord, because Pastor Anderson is not just going to come up here and tell us good things. He's going to tell us things that are going to rebuke us and even scare us to get right with God and stop certain sins so he can continue to bless us. And if we don't have this hard preaching, what will happen is just by reading your Bible, it'll be a while before you may get to parts that are scary in the Bible. Because one thing that's going to put the fear of God in you is listening to hard preaching, listening to good preaching. But not just that, also reading your Bible. I'll just quickly read from Deuteronomy 17. It talks about the kings. Moses is giving instructions to the children of Israel, saying, hey, if you're going to have a king, it'll benefit him to do this. And this is what he wanted him to do. And it shall be when he sitteth upon the throne of his kingdom that he shall write him a copy of this law in a book out of that which is before the priests, the Levites. And it shall be with him, and he shall read therein all the days of his life, that he may learn to fear the Lord. So reading the Bible is going to help you to fear the Lord. Listening to hard preaching is going to help you to fear the Lord. And what's the benefit of that? Well, God made it very clear that your fears, if you seek the Lord, if you fear him, it'll prolong your days. God's going to make sure he takes care of you, because you're going to be doing what's right. God is almost forced to bless you if you're living a righteous life. You know, but Psalms 34 is one of the books that I love, because it does remind us to fear the Lord a lot. But once again, let me just quickly review. Psalms 34 just reminds us to bless the Lord. It reminds us to seek the Lord, to fear the Lord. And one of the things that I like to be reminded of, because I believe that this is something that everybody should be reminded of, but I like being reminded of, Psalms 34 reminds you to just watch your mouth. Watch what you say. So if I'm a new believer, if I'm going to tell a new believer, hey, this is what we should work on, you need to work on seeking the Lord. You know, reading the Bible, seeing what he wants, seeing what commandments he has out there, and doing your best to obey him. And not just that, but also thanking God, being grateful to God, blessing the Lord. That's something that everybody should be doing, new or if you've been a Christian for a while. Obviously, fearing the Lord, seeking the Lord, but also watching your mouth. Go ahead and look at Psalms 34. Go ahead and look at Psalms 34, 12. It says this, what man is he that desires life and loveth many days that he may see good? It says simply this, keep thy tongue from evil and thy lips from speaking guile. Depart from evil and do good, seek peace and pursue it. Proverbs 13:3 says this, he that keepeth his mouth keepeth his life, but he that openeth wide his lips shall have destruction. I'll just read from James 3. If you can go to Psalms 34:15, I'll read from James 3. It says this, even so the tongue is a little member and boasteth great things. Behold, how great a matter a little fire kindleth, and the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members that it defileth the whole body, and setteth on fire the course of nature, and it is set on fire of hell. The tongue is something that can cause you to send somebody to hell if you're not careful. What do I mean by that? I just heard something, I believe it was on YouTube, where somebody was asking advice. He was saying, look, this guy got in my face. He was calling me names. He was saying bad things to me. You know, I guess he was some bum or something. And he's saying all these bad things to me, and I'm there with my wife and my kids, and I just kind of stay quiet until the guy just said what he needed to say, and then he ended up leaving. But it got me so mad. He's like, it got me so mad that I went home, I dropped off my wife, I dropped off my kids, and I went looking for that guy. I went looking for that guy, you know? And the thing is, this is a police officer as well, and he has a handgun, and he's going to go look for this guy. Well, I don't know if this guy that was supposedly talking trash was saved or not, but let's just say he wasn't, and the high chance he probably wasn't. Well, let's just say this guy ended up just finding them, saying something stupid to him, and sure enough, the cop has to defend himself, takes his gun out and shoots this guy. Well, where did he send him? He sent him straight to hell. Why? Because this cop couldn't control his mouth. He's like, I felt like I had to go find this guy because what am I teaching my kid? What am I teaching my son? I want to teach him never to back down, never to take any crap. Well, is that what the Bible teaches? No. It says that we should pursue peace. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the sons of God. But this guy thought it was a good idea to go find them. Lucky enough, he didn't find them. But see, let's just say the guy was saved. Imagine what would have happened if he would have just confronted this guy. Hey, you want to finish our conversation, buddy? You know, you want to finish what you said now that my wife and kids are around? That guy probably would have just stepped up and took him on it. And sure enough, because he was a hothead, he probably would have took his gun and shot him dead. Then he's going to have to get his gun taken away. Then he's probably going to get arrested. Then he's probably going to get sued. All for what? Because he couldn't control what? His mouth. He couldn't control his mouth. He just had to go back and tell him off. He couldn't just let it go. But that's not what the Bible wants us to do. It says, hey, keep that tongue from evil and that lips from speaking guile. You know, depart from evil and do good. Seek peace. How are you going to seek it? Well, with your mouth is one way to seek it. You know, by telling, hey, I'm sorry. Hey, I apologize. I didn't see you. You know what? I didn't mean it. You go ahead and go. I'm totally sorry. And just let it go and go home and enjoy the rest of the night with your wife and kids. Not just go drop off your wife and your kid and go after this guy, try to find him because you want to finish the job. That's not how it works. You know, but the Bible says right here, hey, it is set on fire in hell. Speak not evil one of another, brethren. He that speaketh evil of his brother and judges his brother speaketh evil of the law and judges the law. But if thou judge the law, thou art not a doer of the law, but a judge. And this is one thing that I like to constantly remind myself. Be careful what I say. You know, because things can come out, and it's not that I want them to be hurtful, but if I'm not careful, if I don't watch what I say, I could say something that could offend another brother. Because, of course, the tongue is something that's very hard to control. But at the end of the day, I mean, we are responsible for everything we say and do. But I like this verse because it keeps reminding me, hey, keep your tongue from evil. Hey, watch what you're saying. Hey, speak the truth. Don't speak guile. And that's a great reminder that I like to have every single day. And this is why I like turning to Psalms 34 because I know it's in there. And it's kind of one thing that maybe some people don't like to admit. But if you kind of think about it, we all have a tendency to say things that we shouldn't say. Whether it's something intentional as far as hurting someone or unintentional, we just got to learn to just watch what we say. And that's why I like it. And there's all these warnings about the tongue. Psalms 34:14 says this, depart from evil, do good, seek peace and pursue it. And one way to pursue peace is with your words. Just try to calm the situation and not be hot-headed. And I'm almost wrapping it up. What time is it? Say it's 7:30 already? All right, well, I'll just wrap it up. Psalms 34:15. So what I have so far is that I like Psalms 34 because it reminds me to bless the Lord. It reminds me to seek the Lord. You know, it reminds me to fear the Lord. It reminds me to wash my mouth. And it just reminds me and it gives me peace to know that God is watching. You're right there in Psalms 34:15. The Bible says this, the eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous and his ears are open unto their cry. The face of the Lord is against them that do evil to cut off the remembrance of them from the earth. The righteous cry and the Lord heareth and delivereth them out of all their troubles. The Lord is nigh unto them that have a broken heart and saveth such as be of a contrite spirit. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivered them out of them all. He keepeth all his bones, not one of them is broken. Evil shall slay the wicked, and they that hate the righteous shall be desolate. And the Lord redeemeth the soul of his servants, and none of them that trust in him shall be desolate. If you can, just go to Proverbs 16:17. Proverbs 16:17. Sometimes I feel like, man, is God really out there? Sometimes I feel like, Lord, I don't know. Am I doing something wrong? Sometimes I feel like, God, you know, please just help me out here. You know, I wish I could hear him audibly, but I don't really need that because you got these promises right here that says that the eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous. They're not upon everyone. They're upon the righteous, which is another thing to be, you know, aware of. Hey, am I being righteous? You know, am I doing what's right? Am I doing what's pleasing the Lord in his sight, not my sight? And if that's you, and if you can look in the mirror and say, look, I know I'm not perfect. I'm sure I have some secret fault somewhere. But Lord, If there's something I'm doing wrong, reveal it to me. Just trying to be as righteous, as right with God as possible. And if you can look in the mirror and say, yeah, I'm doing everything I possibly can, then just have the peace that, hey, the ears are open unto your cry. The eyes of the Lord are upon you, and his ears are open unto your cry. I'm sure Pastor Anderson prayed a few times, Lord, what's going on? I'm sick. I have this pain. I don't want Brother Segura to preach tonight. I need to get up there, you know? He's like, he's rusty, et cetera, et cetera. But you know what? I don't think Pastor's going to have a hard time believing that he's a righteous man. You know, I'm sure he can look at himself and be like, look, Lord, I'm doing everything I possibly can. Heal me. Make me feel better, you know? But I can't tell you God's will all the time, but we know for a fact that if you're a righteous person, his eyes are upon you. Sometimes you feel like you're abandoned. I'm sure Pastor is like, man, I don't know. Lord, are you out there? I don't know. It's like this pain, get it away. You know, I've been praying for so long, get out of me. I'm sure his kids prayed, his wife prayed. But sometimes God just lets it go a little bit longer for whatever reason. But rest assured, if you're a righteous person tonight, if you can say, look, I believe I am, then take this to the bank. God is there. God is there. That's why I like Psalms 34. It reminds me, God is there. When I'm having a bad day, are you there? Yeah, he's there. I'm doing everything I can. If anything, it's reminding me to get right or die trying. Because guess what? That's what's going to matter at the end. That's how I'm going to get him to bless me. And it says the face of the Lord is against them that do evil. So, of course, you don't have to worry about your enemies. God's right there watching. He's there. He's seeing everything. These people that are plotting behind your back, don't worry about it. God is going to take care of those individuals. And if you do cry, the righteous cry, and the Lord heareth, hey, he's going to hear you. And if you have troubles in your life today, and everybody will eventually, you know, things are going to come, trouble's going to come, rest assured that it says right there that he's going to deliver you, not out of some, out of all of them. All your troubles, just from those few verses. And it says the Lord is nigh unto them that have a broken heart. You're sad today? Hey, God is there. He's not answering me. He will sooner or later. And we'll see some verses to remind you of that. It says very clearly, broken heart, be a humble person. It says, save as such to be of a contrite spirit. Those that are sorry for the bad things that they've done, God loves that, and he's there. He's there. And it continues by saying, many of the afflictions of the righteous, you're going to suffer. See, this is not just a, oh, this is a all positive sermon. No, it almost ends on a positive / negative note. And it continues by saying this, many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth them or delivereth him out of them all. He keepeth all his bones, not one of them is broken. Evil shall slay the wicked, and they that hate the righteous, hey, they'll be desolate, they will be destroyed. Don't worry about these evil, wicked people, whether it's on the internet or on the news, whatever the case may be. Hey, God's watching, he's seeing things. You, instead of worrying about this individual, spend all your energy as much as you can on doing what's right, because that's what matters the most. Don't waste your time on just, you know, what they're doing. Waste time on what you need to do. And what you need to do is just get in the Word, serve God, go to church, pray for people. You know, whatever the Bible tells you to do, you know, do it. That's what your main energy should be. Not on what you read on Facebook or what you heard in the news article or what you saw in the news. That stuff shouldn't bother you. What your energy should be focused on is just what it says right here. You know, being contrite spirit, being right with God. He's going to keep your bones. Not one of them is going to be broken. Evil shall slay the wicked. They that hate the righteous shall be desolate. The Lord redeemeth the soul of his servants, and none of them that trust in him shall be desolate. And so I'll finish it up with this. Psalms 15:1 says, Lord, who shall abide in thy tabernacle? Who shall dwell in thy holy hill? He that walketh uprightly and worketh righteousness and speaketh the truth in his heart. He that backbiteth not with his tongue, nor doeth evil to his neighbor, nor taketh up a reproach against his neighbor, and whose eyes of all person is contempt, but he honoreth them that what? Fear the Lord. He that sweareth to his own hurt and changes not. He that putteth not money to usury, nor taketh reward against the innocent. He that doeth these things shall never be moved. We sing it, but do you believe it? We sing it, what, almost every month? But do you believe this psalm? Psalms 34 reminds us, hey, just keep doing what's right. Watch what you're saying. Keep the fear going. You know, keep the fear up there, because that's going to help you to live a righteous life. That's what Proverbs 16:17 says. The highway of the upright is to depart from evil. He that keepeth his way preserveth his soul. And once again, the last part is, of course, you know, Psalms 34 is reminding us that God is there. And just more verses to remind you of that in John 14:14 says this, if you shall ask anything in my name, I will do it if you love me, keep my commandments. So there's the catch. It's not just that God's going to answer everybody. He's going to answer those that love him and are keeping his commandments. And whatsoever we ask, we receive of him, because we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight. And there's more stuff that Psalms 34 covers that I didn't mention, like being humble. You know, but once again, let's just finish with a review. You know, what I love about Psalms 34 is it reminds us to bless the Lord. It keeps reminding us to keep seeking the Lord, keep seeking his commandments, keep doing what's right. It reminds us of the importance of fearing him, being afraid of him, respecting him to the point where we know that he can hurt us if he wants us to. And also to remember to watch what you say, watch that mouth, control that mouth. And lastly, number five, it reminds us that God is watching. And who can repeat all those if I were to just put you up here? Who can repeat all five? Who wants to do it? The point is not to remember all these five. Here's the main point. The point is that, hey, going through hard times, hey, sad, hey, depressed, hey, starting to doubt, hey, starting to get sinful. You know what? Psalms 34, get to it ASAP. Start reading it. New believer, where do I begin to become a good Christian? Psalms 34, hit it. Start memorizing it. Get to it ASAP. It's going to help you out. This is nothing more than just to let you guys know there is a chapter in case you don't have one. Some of you guys may have one. You may have a go-to chapter when things are going tough, when I'm starting to get a little sinful, a little backslidden. You may have that go-to chapter. Well, great. And if you need more, highly recommend this one. Those of you that are new, not really sure where to begin, what should I start wasting my time on memorizing? I highly recommend Psalms 34. You guys saw it. I just about bored your brains for an hour just showing you there's a lot of stuff in Psalms 34. But the whole goal was just to let you know there's a lot of stuff in there that will help you out. And you don't have to memorize every single point that I just gave. Just realize it's there. It will help you. Turn to it if you need it. It will help you right away. Let's pray. Dear God, I thank you so much for all that you've done for every single person here, Father. We just want to bless you with the music that's about to come up. And Lord, just help them to remember that Psalms 34 is there if they need it, dear God. And for anybody that's new and don't have no idea where to begin, Psalms 34 is a good place to start there, Father, that can help them to get their life straight right away and to start building some faith in you, to realize that you are there and that we should fear you. And it's okay to be afraid of you, dear God. We should be afraid of you, that you can come down on us at any time if we cross the line with you. We should have that fear and respect at all times, dear Father. All day is how you want it to be. And I thank you so much for what you've done for this church. And Lord, we ask you to continue to bless us and bless everyone here. Keep them safe as they go home tonight. Bless them for their faithfulness. And I ask you for all this for your honor and glory. In Jesus' name, amen.